Rights Campaign is the nation's largest organization working for the civil rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. And we have been doing this is the third edition of the MEI that just came out. It's vaguely based on our Corporate Equality Index, which has been around for over a decade. So it's taking the same kind of principles. We are trying to quantify equality in a way that means that you can compare one place to another in extending equal benefits and other things to their employees. And so we just extrapolated that idea from the Corporate Equality Index and turned it into something that fit cities.
So what exactly does it measure? I know it's city laws and policy. So tell us a little bit about that.
So it's really important, I think, in talking about the MEI to make it really clear that what we're looking at are cities' laws and policies. We are not looking at the climate. We're not looking at how welcoming a place is and how it feels. We are looking at the laws and policies that the city has in place. So it's much more objective than a, is this a welcoming place, kind of a report. We have 47 criteria that fall into six categories. The first is non-discrimination laws. The second is relationship recognition. The third is the municipality as an employer. So essentially, how does a city treat its own employees? We also look at city services, law enforcement, and finally, leadership on matters of equality.
Maybe take a couple of those and give us an example of laws that a city could pass that would make it rank higher when it comes to the equality index.
Well, for cities that don't have non-discrimination protections or relationship recognition at the state level, which of course is not the case in Illinois, but for cities who are in that situation, if they pass non-discrimination protections at the local level, they will get those points. You can get those points either from the state or from the city. If you are in a state that has those good laws, that puts a little bit more focus on the other areas of the project, including the municipality as employer. So in addition to things like, are you offering domestic partner benefits, we also are looking at things like, are the health benefits that you're offering to city employees transgender inclusive? So if a person who works for the city is transgender and seeking the medically necessary care as part of their transition, that's something that, like any other kind of health care, should be covered by the city. And so that's one of the many things that we look at.
So you looked at seven cities in Illinois. Scores in the state include Chicago at the highest with 100%.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, you know, Chicago has worked, has obviously been a place that has been perceived as a fairly inclusive place to be in terms of LGBT equality for some time. And in terms of laws and policies, I think that you see a city that is really making sure that it's putting its money where its mouth is and that it's saying, yes, matters of equality are important here, and we're going to treat our citizens, our city employees, and also the people who live and work in Chicago and make sure that LGBT people are included in everything that the city does.
And so Naperville is at the lowest out of those seven cities with a 59%, but that's the same as the national average. So it looks like overall Illinois would rank pretty high.
Yes, I think that's definitely true. As you said, the national average this year was 59 points. It's important to keep these scores in context. In Illinois, a place that does have good state laws, the cities do have a little bit of a leg up, and that's important. And there are other states that don't have those laws. We had 15 of the 38 cities this year that scored 100 points. Of those 38, 15 of them came from states that didn't have non-discrimination laws that include sexual orientation, gender identity, or marriage equality. And so those 15 cities had to earn all 100 points on their own volition. Every single one of those points they earned because of something they did. In Illinois, the cities had a little bit of a leg up, but I also think it's important to point out that that only goes so far. So you do see that some of the cities in Illinois are sort of hovering around that 60-point mark, and there's a big difference between 60 points and 100 points, which Chicago got. You don't get to 100 by accident, and you don't get there because of state law. That's because Chicago has really invested some time and energy into making sure that their laws are inclusive.
And so here in Springfield, we are at 76 points. Can you break down for us where the city did well versus where it's lacking and has room for improvement in terms of LGBT equality?
There's definitely some room for improvement, although again, you know, in context, 76 is actually a pretty good score. But certainly one of the things that the city could improve in is the municipality as employer. It did fairly well here, but there are still more that could be done. They're not currently offering transgender inclusive health benefits. And by the way, neither is Chicago. That's something I would love to see Chicago doing next year. They also don't have an inclusive city contractor non-discrimination ordinance, meaning that there are people who may be discriminating on the basis of gender identity who are still allowed to have contracts with the city. That's something I would love to see rectified as well. And then finally, one of the other things I think really could do a lot of good in Springfield is that there's no currently there's no LGBT police liaison. And the reason that that's so important is to make sure that when police are doing their jobs, that they're doing that in a way that is culturally competent and inclusive of the LGBT community. That, for example, if they were to respond to a hate crime, that they were able to, you know, make sure that they are collecting the appropriate evidence that might be necessary down the road, and also that they're treating the victim with dignity and respect. And that's really important as well.
This is WUIS. I'm Rachel Otwell. I'm speaking with Catherine Oakley. She's with the Human Rights Campaign and authored a report that looks at individual cities and measures how supportive their laws and policies are of rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. So one of the messages that could be gleaned from this report seems to be that oftentimes rights for the LGBT community are first coming from a local level. So what does that mean on a broad scale, in your opinion, and why would the federal government be lagging behind?
That's a terrific question, and you're absolutely right. That is definitely one of the things that we see in this report. We see that cities are absolutely leading on matters of equality, and it's not just big cities. There are small cities from around the country. We had, I think it was 3 cities under 100,000 people who scored perfect scores this year, and I think it's really important to just to point that out, because it's not just a question of big city politics. And in fact, I think one of the reasons why we see the success at the municipal level is because it's more personal. When you see that the person who's being discriminated against is somebody who goes to your church, or is the parent of a kid who goes to your kid's school, when you know the people who are experiencing discrimination, who are experiencing poor treatment, I think it makes it more of an imperative to act. And I think that's why municipalities are out in front of this. City leaders are some of the most effective, efficient leaders in the country. And as these issues are coming up and people are being becoming aware of them at the city level, cities are acting to fix it. And I think that's really important. I think the state governments and also the federal government could definitely be led by this example of cities that are really acting to make sure that their citizens are treated equally and with respect. Cities that have high proportions of same-sex couples tended to do significantly better. In fact, the average for cities who have a high proportion of same-sex couples was an 82 as compared to a 59. And I think that goes to my point about this being something that when it's happening to your neighbors, when you have a face to put on that discrimination, and it's not abstract, but it's personal, I think that's one of the reasons why cities do end up acting.
And any other data you considered when creating the LGBT Municipal Equality Index that you found fascinating?
One other factor that I did think was interesting was, again, where there was an openly LGBT elected or appointed official, that also had a correlation on score. And the average score for a city that had an openly LGBT elected or appointed official was 82 points. And the average score for a city without was 49 points. So that's a very significant difference. And I think, you know, it's another good indicator of why it's important to have LGBT people who are elected and part of the decision-making process.
And as you mentioned, this is the third year of the Human Rights Campaign doing this Municipal Equality Index. Are trends getting better or worse over that period of time?
Trends are definitely getting better. It's fascinating to me to see how much progress is happening. And, you know, to see cities of truly small cities, cities that are in states that you don't necessarily think of as being all that friendly for LGBT equality, to see those cities really stepping up is fantastic. And it is increasing. And I think it's a good example to everyone about how effective LGBT how effective leaders at the local level are, and how much attention they're paying to LGBT issues.